Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today.
If you'll turn your Bible to Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, it's a great story of, it's just a remarkable story. It's brief, it's short. But have you noticed that whenever God gives you something from his word, to quote Pastor Franklin, it's little, but it's loaded? Just a few verses here, just a few words, barely on a quarter of a page in my Bible. But just from these few words, such prophecy and such profound revelation that God wants to share with us today. I want to share with you the topic of breaking through. Breaking through. When I was in elementary school, there was a great game that we liked to play. It was a holy game. It was a holy exercise that I believe everyone should play. And it was the game called Red Rover. And after church, we'll be playing it in the lobby and I'm picking teams. The whole idea of Red Rover was to break through. And I was thinking about it at such a young age that as children, we have a fascination, we have a desire, we have a want to break through. We love an underdog story. We love it when someone that shouldn't accomplish anything accomplishes everything. We love it when people seemingly come from nowhere and do amazing feats with their life. And Red Rover on the playground at Thousand Oaks Elementary in San Antonio, Texas, was my moment to shine and break little limp wrists that were holding tightly together and just trying to just pick my spot. And I felt like I was really gifted for that sport. I was hoping that it would become a professional sport, maybe letter in it in high school, but sadly it stopped around third grade. But I was amazing, really gifted at Red Rover. The neat thing about Red Rover is that when they call your name and you go towards their line and you break through and you break their grasp, it's not just bragging rights of, I told you, you shouldn't call on me. But when you break through and you break the line, you don't walk back by yourself. You get to grab someone on the team and you get to take them and drag them back to your team. And that's what happens when God brings breakthrough in your life and in my life. It's not just a playground sport. But when you and I walk in breakthrough, we don't just walk in it and experience it by ourselves for others to applaud and ooh and ah. But when you walk in breakthrough, you set other people free too. As a mom and a dad, when you decide to be to not just break down, but to break through, because there's a common denominator in breaking down and breaking through, and it's this breaking. And the world will break you down, and the enemy will break you down, and relationships will break you down, and your job will break you down. But there's a common denominator. It's the breaking. But do you want to break down or do you want to break through? Because God has invited all of us from the top of the balcony to the front row to every campus listening to this and those of us joining us online today. There is an opportunity, an invitation by God for you to either break down or to break through. And if I'm with God and if God's with me, then my destiny is breakthrough. How about you? The enemy wants you and me to think, to believe all the lies that the enemy... Has anyone ever picked up a paper? I don't even know if they make those anymore. But have you ever read a headline lately that made you feel good? Have you shared a story with anyone that, oh, this is a cute story? Other than like if it's like a labradoodle or some silly animal doing something cool. Other than something trivial, is there anything positive in the news today? Does anything read a story of just like overcoming and have this overwhelming urge to share it with everyone and then everyone feels uplifted? No, we share the bad stuff. We want to know every detail and we'll Google it for the next 6 weeks. What's happening now? Did it get worse? Oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's interesting. I'll keep looking. We for some reason, we love to slow down at accidents, not to help, not to get out of our car and render service, but we like to slow down to watch. That's the symptom of society. but it's not a symptom of God, and it's not an attribute of God. It's not the character of God. If God is slowing down in your life, it's not to pass you by and to mock you. It's to get out of the car and resurrect you, to help you, to bring you somewhere you couldn't go by yourself. I was with someone driving on the highway in California, one of my relatives, and I guess they missed an exit, and I thought he saw this stranded car on the side of the road, and so I was unbuckling my seatbelt. I'm like, we're going to help these people, and as I'm rolling my window down, we just zoom right past them. I was like, never mind, just kidding. Hey, broken, never mind. Our culture, the world without God, breaks down. Stop being surprised by it. The surprise party is over. Outside of God, nothing improves. Everything dies. But in the kingdom of God and in the things of God and according to the word of God, if we have God hidden in our heart, we do not get worse. We improve over time. We do not skid into, we don't barely get into heaven. We walk in with scars and dirt and everything, and we walk in with our head held high. We walk through the streets of gold. We walk through the pearly gates, and one day we'll hear the Lord himself say, enter into the kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't break down, but you broke through. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 5, the story of King David. David, up to this point, he was king over just Judah. And Judah was a handful, but on the southern part of the country is where Judah hung out. And King David was king over Judah. To the north was where the majority of the Israelites lived. Also in the north was this group of people called the Philistines. And historically, the Philistines are, I think those are the only two ways to say that. Those guys were at odds with Israel. But for a period of time, they had learned to cohabitate. They don't bother me, I don't bother you. And they had gotten used to this season of just kind of going along to get along. But that ain't God. God never wanted you and me to just be casual with our sin, to allow things in our life that if given the chance, they would destroy our life. Things that we think are going good and things that we think are friends to us are actually enemies of our soul. And there will be a moment where things will come to take your life at the moment that you least expect it. David was enjoying his being king. Sounds like a great job. He was enjoying being king. The Philistines were kind of keeping to themselves. But something took place that caused everything to turn on its head. Do you remember in your life, well, there was a moment where everything became crystal clear? Maybe it was your faith. Maybe it was a moment where you're worshiping God, and all of a sudden, all the questions that you had, just like a clarion voice from heaven, speaks peace to your heart. And you could tell me where you were and how old you were and what date on the calendar, what time of day and what you were wearing. You will never forget that day. This was one of those days in David's life where everything changed and nothing was ever the same. It says in verse 17 of 2 Samuel 5, it says, but when the Philistines heard that they, the Israelites, had anointed King David over all of Israel, it says all of the Philistines came up to seek David. Now, I don't think that the Bible is exaggerating, but I'm wondering, really all? Like, how many Philistines do we have here? All right, let's all, like, put the cereal spoon down, you know, put the shopping cart down. We're all going to David. Something obviously happened to David that caused the enemy to come alive. And that was this: David was crowned king over all of Israel. That meant he was bringing unity. Whenever you and I walk in unity, we get the enemy's attention. Why? Because it's so rare. And two, because it's so powerful. When you and I walk in unity, we are an unstoppable force for the things of God. Why else would the enemy try to splinter and destroy the church? Why would he try so hard to put us at odds with each other? Why would he put it in the heart of Christians and Christ followers and leaders in the church to be so upset over seemingly nothing? Just so someone could hear me and just so I could make a point. I learned when I got married to Ruth that if I won a fight with Ruth, I really lost. I wish we would learn that in other places that we live. I don't want to win a fight with Ruth. I want to win a fight with Ruth. I want to battle things together. I want to move forward. No, I don't want to battle her. She's tough. I don't want to fight her. She's got big brothers too. And it's just like, why do you think we don't live in Canada anymore? They're scary people. But David was crowned king, and all of a sudden, it was just like all of the Philistines woke up and they said, okay, today we're gonna kill David. And that's the way the enemy works. Think it not strange, and don't be surprised when problems follow promotion. When you are promoted, when you walk in prosperity, when you walk in prophecy, when you stand where God anointed you to stand, don't think that that's the moment that the enemy pulls back. That's the moment that the enemy ramps up. But listen to me, you don't need to be afraid of the enemy, because as long as you're on God's side, you got God fighting your battle. But if you're all by yourself, look out, you're gonna die. So it said that David was crowned king, and the Israelites heard of it. So the Philistines heard about it, and they all went up to seek David, and David heard about them coming, and he went down to the hold. I love that, the hold. I love that word, the hold. It said he went down to the hold, and he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? And will thou deliver them into my hand? And if you deliver them, will we walk victorious? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver. That just makes you sound smart when you put like two words together that start with the same letter. Doubtless deliver. Didn't that make you feel good? Doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me, and the breach of as a breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. The Philistines spread themselves over the valley of Rephaim, but David went and fought them in a place called Baal-perazim. The word Rephaim simply means this: the valley of old giants. The Philistines, the Bible said, sounds like they were making a sandwich. They spread themselves over the valley of Baal-perazim. Baal-perazim means old giants. And the Israelites were saying to David, David, we're gonna spread ourselves over this valley, the valley of old giants. And if there's old giants here, there's some giants here that other kings should have killed. And when you come to the valley of old giants, David, and when you come to fight us here, not only will you have to fight us, but you'll have to fight your past as well. You'll have to fight your hangups and the things that you're ashamed of. And you're gonna have to fight some battles that you were never designed to fight, that others were designed to fight, but they failed to fight. So David, you just march on down here to Baal-perazim, to Rephaim, the valley of old giants. But I hear the Lord saying to us this morning that old giants must fall. Do you feel that? Old giants must fall. The old ones, the familiar ones, the ones that other kings should have killed, the established ones like suicide and racism and the fear of man and addiction and self-harm and dead religion and poverty, even the old giants must fall. And I can almost feel us in the room sort of reasoning with that, saying, well, you know, it's an imperfect world and there's gonna be some old giants around. And after all, the Bible does say that the poor will be with you always. So it's not like we can exactly kill poverty. And look, God's not asking for a conversation with this. God's not asking for your input on when he speaks. When God speaks, truth is sent and life comes from dead places. And I'm telling you this morning, there's some old giants in our lives that must fall today. Can I get a better amen? That must fall today. You know, it's the old giants that sort of sparked Esther into action. Like David, soon after being crowned queen, the troubles began. Like David, the moment he was crowned king, I think they had just gotten through playing Hail to the Chief. And they were putting away the brass instruments and the band was packing up to go. And as the celebration was ending, the last piece of confetti falling to the ground is when David heard the Philistines are coming. Yes, all of them are coming. And in the moment of a high for David, things got very dark quickly. And for Esther, the same was true. She was just crowned queen. She was the latest and the greatest and the most beautiful. And the king was so proud of her and the nation was so proud of her. But her uncle, who was also her adopted dad, Mordecai, caught wind that Haman was plotting to kill all of her people. Up to this point, Esther had kept her nationality a secret. It was as if she put a veil over her family tree. She didn't want anyone to know about her heritage. But the moment that word got to Mordecai that Haman was planning to kill the Israelites, Mordecai went to Esther and said, "Esther, you are our only hope." It might just be, Esther, I need someone to hear this in this church this morning. It might just be that you were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this, Esther. And Esther, if you don't act, don't worry. Someone else will rise up and free your people, but it won't be you and it won't be me. We will die and someone else will kill the giant that you were designed to take down. That's what motivated Esther. She didn't want some other generation cleaning up her mess. She wanted to hand the next generation victory and giant killing skills and overcoming. She didn't want to pass on breaking down. She wanted to pass on breaking through. You and me and everyone in the sound of my voice this morning, God wants us to hand a generation the power to break through. I'm tired of feeling bad for the next generation. I'm tired of people saying, "I don't want to bring a baby into this world." We need to raise up world changers. We need to trust the word of God, and we need to believe that with God, all things are what? Come on, shout. Give me a minute, I'll calm down. All things are possible. Red Rover's gonna be fun later. And as David inquired of the Lord spoke back. And David came to the place. And God broke through like a mighty rushing torrent of water and demolished the enemy. Lord, I see it for my family and my friends today. I see the people today that walked in here broken and barely hanging on. I see the people that are here because they lost the bet. I see people here because they were told to get up and get dressed and come to church. But you're here today and breakthrough is waiting for you. Breakthrough is waiting for you. One of the things that David did, how do you just walk in? And well, David walked into the valley after hearing from God. And on his way, he's collecting his men. And they're going to, I thought they said the Valley of Rephaim, you know, the Valley of Old Giants. But David heard from God and God said, "I'm gonna be with you and I'm gonna deliver them into your hands, David." So before David even got to Rephaim, he decided that's not Rephaim, that's Bel-Perazim. And Bel-Perazim means the Lord of the breakthrough. Bel-Perazim means master of breakthrough. Bel-Perazim means that Baal is dead. Bel-Perazim does not mean old giants. Bel-Perazim means old giants are gonna fall today. Today the giant falls. And as David and his men were walking that way, I could see David's men saying, "David, where are we headed?" "We're headed to Bel-Perazim." "That's strange, David, because I thought that was the valley of old giants." "Well, I heard from God today, and God said we're gonna have breakthrough today. So even before I get to the battle, I already know that we have won. We have already won victoriously. They are already ours, and we are already triumphant." Don't be intimidated when the enemy comes after you. You can be just like David and rename your valley this morning. Rename the place of the old giants this morning. You can walk in victory. I know some of you are thinking, "Oh, this is just a Christian pep rally. This is just trying to make me feel good." No, this is just trying to get the word of God, the true living word of God in our lives. We don't have to put up with second place. We don't have to put up with so many funerals. We can walk in the resurrection power of God. Amen and amen. I'll continue preaching. One of the things that David did in this story was he ran to strength. Where do you run when the trouble comes? Who do you call when the trouble comes? If we were to have your phone up on that screen, who are you texting the most? What kind of comments are you saying the most? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? And when death knocks at your door, who do you call? Do you call the gossip? Do you call the person that's impressed with your problem? Or do you call the person that's already been there, done that, and walks in the power of God? Today, after service at all of our campuses, we have Find Your Fit. And out in the lobby, there's room for all of us to use our gifts in the kingdom of God. No matter what campus you're at, whether in worship ministry or out in the lobby or driving the shuttles or greeting people at the door or ushering in the auditorium or Spanish translation. And I pray to God that we have so many more translation needs. I pray that we have Korean translation and anyway, a whole bunch more. Holy Spirit tongues translation ministry, wouldn't that be interesting? But today after service out in the lobby, I pray that you'll go out there and look to see where you can get plugged in. Not so you can help the church, but so you can build the kingdom. The church doesn't need your help. God doesn't want your help. God wants you plugged in. God wants you to be a part. And you might even think, well, I'm kind of good right now. That's the person we want. Because there's some other people that are saying, I'm not so good right now. And we need to get the not so good and the doing pretty good. We need to get them together so they can sharpen one another. David ran towards strength. All the Philistines came up. So David went down. That's a smart man right there. All the bad guys are coming this way. I will go this way. The Bible says that the Philistines came up and David went down to the hold. The hold, it means a fort. Anybody like building forts when you're little? I still like building forts. They're still not as nice as I imagined them. But David had a fort. It was in the desert region of Judah. It was like a mountainous region. It was a place that he was familiar with. David had a hold. He had a strong hold, a strong house. He had a place of strength, of support, of safety. And so many people that you and I know, and sometimes we're tempted ourselves, when the trouble comes, we run to isolation. I just want to be by myself. I just need some time alone right now. No, when you're saying I need time alone right now, that's not when you need to be alone. That's when you need the family of God around you, not patronizing you and making you feel bad, but you need to be a part of the family unit. You need to participate at dinner. You need to go to the grocery store. You need to fold the laundry. You need to help with homework. You don't need to isolate. You need to participate because that's where the healing comes. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Why is it that when we feel so bad that we want to isolate, but David ran to strength, not isolation or fear. He didn't go foolish on everyone. He didn't call his buddies up from Israel High and be like, hey, remember when we used to all go nuts when we were in high school? Things are really down for me right now. I think a great idea is to go be stupid. Would you like to go be stupid with me? That sounds like fun, David. No, that stupid doesn't solve anything. Stupid is, I looked it up. It's stupid. It's not helpful. It doesn't accomplish anything. God gets no glory. And then you just look, yeah, you're getting it. You could preach this message. That sounds good. But when the enemy comes to your house, when the enemy shows up in your driveway, when the enemy is lurking around your halls, when the enemy is speaking to your family, who do you call? What do? David knew what to do. He ran to strength. How do I run to strength? Here's how you do it. You look for past victories. You look for past victories. You look for places that you won before and you go get there. And you get reminded of the feeling, of the emotion. You might run into someone. You might hear a song. For some of you, it's these altars. I remember crying right here many years ago, right there. And then it was right here. And I'm pretty sure it was over there. I cried back there several times. This is a special place. Jonathan and I were driving yesterday. We went somewhere. We both have a birthday next week. We're both turning 16. It's going to be so exciting. We're twins. I get that a lot. It's the hair. This is your future, John. We were driving somewhere and we were talking about church. And we both came to the conclusion, we're part of something very special. We're part of something very special. And every Sunday when we come to church, we're running to strength. Every time we go to school of discipleship, we're running to strength. Every time we're involved in small in groups, we're running to strength. Every time we serve the community, we're running to strength. We need to find a place of strength. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. You might not have a place, but you do have a path. You might not remember where God spoke to you last. You might not remember where you were when God touched your heart. You might not have some good church memories like I'm so fortunate to have and I'm so grateful to have, but you can make them now. You can start today. It says in Proverbs 18, if you don't have a place, God's name is the place. God's name is the place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are what? They are saved. That is a powerful place. That is a place of strength. If all you can do is speak the name of Jesus, is speak the name of God, you have built a tower in the middle of your terror and God will meet you in your need. Man, what is wrong with me? The devil is a punk. I'm tired of him pushing the church around. I'm tired of people taking it. I'm tired of people being polite with the enemy. We're not supposed to be polite with the enemy. We're not supposed to sleep with the enemy. We're not supposed to feed the enemy, make room for the enemy. We are supposed to kill the enemy, destroy the enemy, push him out of our life. Where do you run? Where do you run? Wherever God spoke, wherever God moved, go there. 1 Samuel 17, when David was just young, he wasn't even king yet, wasn't even crowned king. He was anointed, wasn't appointed yet. And he said to the first Philistine he ever fought, he said, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. And he didn't stop. This young punk full of God said to this grisly man, he said, the God of the armies of Israel, he didn't stop, whom you have defied today, giant, you're gonna die and it's gonna be at my hand. This rock will slay your life. And I don't have a sword, but I'm gonna use your sword to cut off your head. Then I'm gonna drag your ugly head and your sword and I'm taking it with me. I love that. I'm not a violent man, but I don't like the enemy. I don't like the devil picking on you or me. I don't like it and we don't have to put up with it. David ran to strength. The second thing he did is David waited on the Lord. We're such a hurried world. Everything is fast paced. We gotta have it now. We gotta have it yesterday. But David had the wisdom to wait. Waited on the Lord. David developed a close relationship with God. It said in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18, said the Philistines came up and they spread themselves in the valley. And then David inquired of the Lord. 9 times in David's rule and reign as king, he inquired of the Lord. He asked God for guidance. He said, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? You know, we need to hear from God today, but what I hear God saying is he wants to hear from us today. It's a two-way conversation. People say, well, what do I say when I pray? What if I pray outside of God's will? Let God figure that out. Well, prayer seems selfish. Why would I pray? What if God doesn't answer me? Or what if God doesn't hear me? Or what if God says no? I don't know the answers to those things, but you won't find out until you talk to God. Have a conversation with him. And it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be nice. You're not praying to God to impress him with your vocabulary. And he's like, oh, they've really been studying. Did you hear that Hebrew? Wow, you kind of snuck that in there. Go ahead and give it to him. You heard his prayer. Wow. He raised his voice and everything. What a gifted young man. God's not impressed with us. He's moved by us. When it's heart speaking to heart, when all you can do is groan, when all you can do is cry, when you're wiping snot and tears out of your eyes and you don't even know what to say, and it's just, God hears that prayer. And the enemy doesn't want you to pray it, because when you talk to God, God talks back. He makes the crooked path straight and he raises the dead in your life. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord will what? They will renew their... They will mount up with wings as, they shall run and not get, they shall walk and not. These are good things when you wait on God. Why would I wait on God? Life is so busy, that's why you wait. So we renew our strength. We mount up with wings as eagles. We run and we not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. David ran to strength and David waited on God and David dared to obey. It was those two things, the running to strength and the waiting on God, that gave David the answer he needed. And God told David in those two moments, I will deliver the enemy into your hand. And I want to tell you this, when God starts speaking, you need to start speaking. When God told David, I'm going to deliver them into your hand, David began to tell his men, God will deliver them into our hand. We need to start speaking what we've been hearing from God. He's the God of breakthrough. Recently in Gwinnett, there's a summer after summer extreme. We have summer extreme at all of our campuses. Huge, huge turnout of volunteers to make it happen. People taking vacation time to minister to the children of our communities. And much like here, under these grates right here are just tons of pieces of paper, photographs of family, several containers containing loved ones from your family and my family and people that we love. And at the beginning of the year, we put them in these boxes and Pastor had us put them in the altar of all of our campuses. And every time we stood there, we would be thinking about God, deliver that. I see that family, right? I do, that one right there. And that lady and that family and that child and all those people that Pastor wanted us to be reminded to pray, to believe, to intercede. And one Sunday morning, I was standing near the grate at Gwinnett and I looked down and this is what I saw. Can you throw that up there? I looked down. We had just had summer. Keep it up. We had just had summer extreme, and we had confetti cannons in the auditorium, and we had all kinds of fun. We created a huge mess. And my first thought as I looked down was, who didn't clean up? This is on a Sunday morning while I'm supposed to be holy. I'm thinking of who's not doing their job. But then the Lord spoke to me, and I felt like the Lord said, "You need to rename this valley." That's what David did. David renamed the valley. It wasn't Rephraim, it was Bel-Perazim. And as I was standing over those names, can you show the next picture? I had them pull the grate out so I could see it. And I felt like the Lord said, this box is not a box of sadness, but we're already throwing a party. We got confetti and everything. This is not a box of sadness, this is a box of celebration. I want you to, if you have a name in here, or you haven't put one in here but are going to today, I want you to stand up at every campus. If there's someone that you have put in here or you know that's in here, stand up at every campus. And if you want to put a name in here today, stand up. This represents breakthrough. I'm just going to ask very politely if all of you would just join me down front. It's not going to take long. I'm not going to do anything strange. But I want to agree with you. I want us to... 2024 is coming, and it's not a fearful thing. It's a faith-filled thing. I'm believing with everyone. I'm believing that whoever you have in here or at Gwinnett or wherever it is, it's not a game. It's for real. It's life and death. And I want everyone to please stand. And if you're here today and you need breakthrough in your life, I want you to just come down here too. Maybe all you can do, depending on what campus you're at, maybe all you can do is just step out on the aisle. Maybe that's as close as you can get. But you know what's happening right now? I heard God say, I'm giving you a place. This is your place. Remember David ran to strength? Some of you said, I don't have a place. This is your place, this moment. You need to write this day down. This is your place.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.